me back in Manitoba many moons ago.
And on sunny Sunday mornings like this, it makes me think of one thing and one thing only, Abandoned Manitoba. And of course, for that, we welcome Gordon Goldsboro from the Manitoba Historical Society, as we do every week. Good morning, Gordon.
Good morning, Bruce.
So remind us of the clue from last week.
I said that we're going to visit Brandon today to talk about a vacant building that, when it was constructed in 1941, was at the forefront of radio broadcasting. And what I was referring to were the former studios of CKX Radio, a very nice Art Deco building on 8th Street.
CKX, that's a station that still exists today.
Well, yes, as does its Winnipeg-based sister station, CKY.
Right.
But neither of them has the same owners as when they were first established. Because in 1923, when CKY was established, it was established by the Manitoba government as part of something called MGT, Manitoba Government Telephones, which later became MTS. And it was Canada's first publicly owned radio station. 5 years later, 1928, sister station CKX at Brandon began operating. CKX was based in a building on the grounds of the Brandon City Hall. And of course, alongside, because this was radio, there was a very tall metal tower from which the radio signal was broadcast to the surrounding area around Brandon.
And so what sort of programming was CKX offering in those early days?
Initially, just simply broadcast for a few hours in the evening to really just rebroadcasting programming that had been developed at the larger facility at CKY in Winnipeg. But it did have some locally produced content. So I looked through old newspapers to sort of look at what it advertised in that first year of operation, 1929. And some of the things that I found were that it broadcast the inauguration ceremony for the new incoming president of Brandon College. It broadcast Sunday church services. It broadcast speeches at the annual convention of something called the United Farmers of Manitoba, which, by the way, would become very active in politics in Manitoba in the next decade. They broadcast a talk by the superintendent of the Brandon Experimental Farm. They broadcast performances by the Salvation Army Band and a local group called the CKX Quartet. CKX was so popular that in 1936, that transmission tower, the one I mentioned, had to be upgraded. Initially, it was only 100 watts, barely nothing, to 1,000 watts to permit the signal to travel further. And at that point, the station also moved to all-day programming. It wasn't just for a few hours in the evening. By 1938, the building was facing a severe space crunch that the provincial government's radio commissioner, a man named John Lowry, approached the Brandon City Hall about enlarging the building.
And what did the city council have to say about that?
Unfortunately, they were not receptive. Mm. I mean, they were supportive of the radio station generally. It just sounds like they didn't want a radio station on the grounds of the city hall. Instead, they offered CKX some city-owned space across the street. Mr. Lowry, well, he responded that, you know, if the station had to relocate from its current digs, the preferred space would actually be on the upper floors of the nearby Prince Edward Hotel, one of the fanciest hotels in town. The council responded that if CKX enlarged its building, well, it would have to be capable of moving the structure off the city grounds if the city council wanted it. And they really didn't sound like they wanted this building on the grounds at all. Well, they negotiated back and forth for a little while longer. They finally, in 1941, reached an agreement to lease the original site to MTS for 99 years at the princely sum of $1 a year. And so more significantly from our context today, to construct a new building to replace the original one. They gave the job of designing this new studio building to an architect named Gilbert Parfitt.
Gilbert Parfitt, was he a well-known architect?
Oh, absolutely. You know, among his commissions here in Winnipeg, for example, is the St. John's Anglican Cathedral, just a magnificent church in North Winnipeg. On the Fort Garry campus of the University of Manitoba, Parfitt designed the Tier Building, which at that time was the arts building,
right?
And he designed the Buller Building, which was the science building. From 1924 to his retirement in 1957, Parfitt served as the province of Manitoba's in-house architect. And essentially, it was in this capacity that he designed the CKX radio studios in Brandon, because, of course, the station was being operated by the government.
So what did the new studio building look like?
Well, it's a 2,400-square-foot, one-story brick building with a full concrete basement. Its most prominent side, the three of the sides are fairly bland sort of brick faces, but the 8th Street face is quite an attractive mixture of red bricks and cream-colored tindlestone. Now, as you went into the building, as you entered from the street, there was a general office, and a door from that office led into what they called the Artist's Lounge. And that essentially was a place where the, you know, the on-air performers, maybe some guests could sort of relax in between broadcasts. Then from that lounge, there was a door that went into a control room where technicians would monitor two studios. There were two studios in the building. A larger Studio A was for groups of performers or maybe even a small orchestra. It had an adjoining public observation room with seats for up to 40 spectators. The smaller Studio B had space for only one or two people, and I suppose that was for things like on-air interviews, maybe news broadcasts, those sort of things. In the basement, well, there was storage space, there was mechanical equipment. Of course, with radio broadcasting, you'd have instruments that would create a lot of heat. You'd need to keep it cool, so they had air conditioning, probably one of the early buildings in Brandon to have air conditioning. And a record library, because, of course, records and music was a very common part of their daily broadcast. The heating for the building, though, was not provided in the building. Instead, they brought that over from the adjacent City Hall building.
So when did the provincial government stop operating radio stations in Manitoba?
Well, it's interesting because initially CKY and CKX had a virtual monopoly on the airwaves in Manitoba. Any other radio station that wanted to operate would have to get the government's permission. And of course, if the government didn't want any competition, well, it would just say, no, we don't want to authorize any more stations. But enterprising businessmen in Manitoba did find ways around the monopoly. For instance, in 1928, the year that CKX began operating, grain merchant James Richardson, from, of course, the noted Richardson family here in Winnipeg, he established a station called CJRW with a transmitter at Fleming, Saskatchewan, just 3 miles into Saskatchewan from Manitoba. So, of course, the broadcast could be heard in Manitoba, too. Eventually, though, he lobbied quite hard, and in 1933, Richardson was finally given permission to move his station to Winnipeg. And at that time, the station's call letters were changed to CKRC. Now, in late 1947, the Manitoba government decided to get out of the radio business. I guess they were finally deciding there was enough interest in the private sector. So CKY was sold to the CBC, and it was renamed CBW. Of course, the station from which we're broadcasting now.
Exactly.
The call letters, though, CKY, were later recycled by a private company. And that's why I said CKY, although it was called CKY in the early days, has no connection at all with today's CKY. Different altogether.
Right.
In Brandon, though, CKX was sold to a company led by the Craig family. And the Craig name has become synonymous with radio and TV broadcasting all across Western Canada. I mean, they operated stations quite a few places here in Manitoba and Saskatchewan, Alberta, TV as well. CKX continued to broadcast out of that building on 8th Street until 1957. And at that point, it moved to a new facility on Victoria Avenue.
And CKY, those call letters recycled by the Moffat family when they owned CKY up until the 90s. So what happened to that old studio building then?
Well, at that point, it was owned by the city of Brandon. It was taken over by the city, and it was occupied by the city's public health department until 1971. And that's a significant year because that's the year that the former City Hall building was demolished. Of course, the present-day Brandon City Hall is not located nearby. It's actually a few streets away. And so at this point now, it was disconnected, for example, from its heating supply because, again, the heat was provided by the City Hall. So the building basically sat vacant because you couldn't occupy it in the wintertime because it would be pretty cold until 1975, 4 years, when a new heating plant was installed in the building itself. The interior, well, it was renovated to be occupied by a whole sequence of social agencies. There's a whole long list of the ones that occupied the building. So, for example, by the early 2000s, it was being used by the Native Addictions Council of Manitoba.
Yeah, but you've said that this is now a vacant building, right? So when was it vacated?
Well, the building was sold into private ownership in 2007, and it was used by a catering business that also sold restaurant supplies and antiques. And during the summer, in sort of public events, the site of the old Brandon City Hall was turned into a public park, and they would have events there. Well, they would actually serve sort of barbecue food and things from the old broadcast studios. But unfortunately, in 2020, financial challenges caused by the pandemic led the owner of the building to retire and put it up for sale. I was in Brandon a few weeks ago, and the sale sign is still attached. So I assume that it's kind of still up for grabs. I expect, though, that the interior has been highly renovated in the 73 years since CKOX moved out. But, you know, it would be really interesting to see if there are any remnants of the studios still in the building. That would be, you know, indicative of the early history of radio broadcasting here in Manitoba.
I wonder. Thanks a lot for that, Gordon. Very interesting. What's up for next week?
Well, when I see hand-drawn letters scrawled in a sidewalk, you know, actually impressed into the concrete,
right,
when it was wet, mm-hmm, you know, I'm inclined to suspect a random act of vandalism. You know, somebody came along when the concrete was being poured and they just thought, oh, I'll just put my initials in it. But next week, we're going to visit a sidewalk in the Fort Rouge area of Winnipeg where the word Ainslie reveals a deeper story.
Interesting. Thank you for joining us again this week, Gordon, and we will talk next week.
Sounds good. Talk then. Bye-bye.
No matter where I go, every time the wind blows, puts me back in Manitoba.